It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump recently signed a proclamation allowing 300,000 tons of beef to be imported into the U.S. under a lower tariff rate in an effort to reduce prices.
President Trump announced the plan on Truth Social last month. This comes as the price of ground beef rose to a near record $6.89 a pound in July. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis.
Farm groups and Republican politicians have pushed back on the proposal. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association called the move undercutting American farmers. Both Wisconsin candidates for governor also spoke against the proposal.
For more, Brad Olson is with us, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Brad, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, your organization has criticized that announcement from the Trump administration, saying they were going to move to import a lot of beef, ground beef products, and sell them below current market value. What are your concerns?
Well, just short-term, you know, market manipulation. I mean, this is not a long-term thing. And by saying that, you know, it's going to be sold at a significantly lower price in the stores, certainly hurts our farmers across Wisconsin with that kind of short-term move. And it isn't long-term stability for the consumer, and it's certainly short-term pain for our farmers across the state.
Now, what are you hearing from the members of your organization who have cattle, who have beef cattle? What kind of things are they telling you?
Well, I think the difference for Wisconsin somewhat is we have a lot of dairy cattle being bred to beef bulls. And so it isn't just a beef thing in Wisconsin. It's also affecting the dairy herds significantly as well. So just concerned about the drop in beef prices, the drop in bull calf replacements, those kinds of things. And when we're on quite a stretch of downturn of all of agriculture markets here, beef has been the one bright spot in agriculture over the last few months.
Right, those prices are actually helping farmers break even or actually make a profit?
Oh, 100%. You know, when you look at the dairy side of things, those sales of those calves are a lot of times on a lot of farms the extent of the profit for the year.
There are concerns from consumers about the price of beef these days. They might say, well, you know, I could use a short term little bit anyway of price relief. What do you say to consumers about the longer view that you and farmers are taking?
Well, I think, you know, short term is good. I mean, we would, all of us as consumers would like to see the prices go down some. But I think you could look at that across all sectors of our industry or of every industry and say the consumer would like the prices to go down. And at the end of the day, the prices are up on the farm, but they're up considerably more in the grocery store than they are on the farm. And so, as I said earlier, this is... This is the one and really only bright spot in agriculture now, and I would say that as we continue to lose more farms, it has been said by multiple Secretary of Agriculture's across both party lines that food security is national security, and we're getting to the point where we have to understand that the low number of farmers being right around 1.5% of the population in the nation, that is a real possibility that you know, a nation that cannot feed itself is truly not secure. And we see this year that you know, beef imports are up considerably as it is. And it isn't necessarily about this. There's always been beef ported into the United States. So that's not anything new. It becomes the volume that's imported.
You've called on the president to work with the U.S. agriculture sector to strengthen beef supply domestically. What kind of policies would you like to see?
Just policies that keep our members and farmers, not just across Wisconsin, but across the nation in business. I think there's ways we can work. I mean, there's no secret. Over the last few years, we've just had some weather-related issues again, not necessarily in Wisconsin, but across the nation in beef producing areas that have lowered the beef herd to what it is today. It's lowest in almost 75 years. And work together to create a plan. We are slowly building that herd back. Beef, unlike and dairy, unlike other livestock industries, cannot be built on a short-term basis. We're getting, you know, one replacement a year out of every female animal. So it takes a long time to rebuild that, and it is going to be. It took quite a while to get here. It's going to take some while to get back, but making sure that we're supporting the American beef farmers in these and getting that beef herd built back is important. And sitting down with members of the administration to get a plan that works, not in the short term, but in the long term, is what we're asking the administration for.
Expanding the beef herd, as you just said, it isn't fast, and as I understand, it isn't cheap either. What are you hearing from your members about some of the uncertainty around, you know, are these tariffs, this tariff cut going to only be around for 90 days? What is next year going to look like? Is some of the uncertainty making people a little hesitant to take the plunge into expanding?
Some of that, yes, I would agree, because on the farm side, that uncertainty over, you know, 60 to 90 days. Again, we're in this in the agriculture business. We're in this for the long term, not in 60 to 90 days. For us, nothing is, you know, we're still going to be having calves, selling beef over that course, and it just kind of stays the same. So market interruptions like this that are short are not necessarily good for the industry.
And finally, since I've got you on the line, I wanted to get your take on the wider trade back and forth between the Trump administration and Canada, not just beef now, but in general with Wisconsin agriculture. What do you have your eye on? What are some of your biggest fears or maybe hopes of what comes out of all this?
Well, I guess the concerns is that it keeps going on. You know, the disagreement on trade. The hopes is that at the end of the day, we come out that with something that is, can I say, fair for both countries, fair for dairy, fair for beef in Wisconsin, and that an agreement gets made that's workable, not just for our state but both countries in this, and moves agriculture forward and puts us in a better place.
Brad, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Brad Olson is the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. For Analysis Now, Brenda Botel is with us. She's professor, statewide extension specialist, and department chair of agricultural economics at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls. Brenda, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Before we dive into this tariff and imported beef situation, what is it that's been driving up the price of beef in the United States lately?
Well, we just have a very short supply of beef right now. We've had several years where we've been decreasing the herd size, and coupling that then with the screw room issue. So we were having less cattle that we were able to import. All of that basically brings that we have less cattle means less beef.
Okay, maybe a dumb question. I know with dairy cows, a cow today produces way more milk, right, than a cow 20 years ago, say, because of genetics and nutrition and things like that. Is there anything comparable? Are we, maybe we have fewer beef cattle, but they're bigger and we get more meat per unit?
Oh, we definitely do. Yes, most definitely. If you were comparing, say, for example, the amount of beef that we get from an animal today relative to one from even 20 years ago or 40 years ago, we get way more beef. So we will never need to be at the same size cattle herd as we were, you know, say in the 70s or the 90s. However, we still, even given that and given the desire by the U.S. consumer for U.S. beef, we have a strong demand for it. We just don't have enough animals still to meet that.
Okay, that brings in this idea from President Trump cutting tariffs on X amount of beef, ground beef in particular, as I understand it, from other countries. Do you see that potentially having an impact, potentially bringing down the price that consumers are paying?
Well, Trump's proclamation or Trump's agreement basically stated that, you know, in order to be able to, the way I understood it is that the, with no out of quota tariff for those days, they had to, they had to agree to sell it for 25% below the market price. Now, we don't know where the beef's coming from or anything like that, or what that agreement is. So that particular beef will be lower. The thing is, though, just because that particular beef is lower doesn't necessarily mean that the U.S. consumer is going to be paying 25% less, because that beef that we're bringing in is that lean beef trims. And we're going to basically, you know, that's going to be frozen beef that we're going to have to unfreeze. Then we're going to have to basically dilute it with current U.S. Maybe some fattier domestic beef, things like that. And then basically freeze it again. And it'll probably go to, like, you know, maybe school lunch programs or universities or fast food stores. That's typically the location where that type of beef would go. So that might be lower, but, you know, if it just because a portion of it's 25% lower doesn't mean that the entirety that when it gets to the consumer is going to be 25% lower.
Okay, so with that qualification, ground beef might be slightly cheaper by the time somebody's paying for it. And we're just talking ground beef here, right? There's not, you know, the cuts of beef we might see at the butcher stand.
Right. This is just ground beef that they're saying. And so, and yes, I do. It should bring down ground beef prices for the next 3 months. It won't be that 25%. And it might bring down some of those whole muscle cuts. The issue becomes in that, how much are the retailers going to actually be able to decrease it, you know, like at the grocery store so that the consumer can get there. But then the issue becomes too, even just a long term, you know, as we decrease these prices by bringing in imported beef, it's not sustainable for the U.S. cattle producer, because the reason why we don't have more animals right now is high cost of import puts, because of droughts, you know, fertilizer prices, diesel prices, corn prices are going up, all these high prices, all costs of inputs. Well, they need a higher cattle price in order to be able to make money. And they can't just be making money. They have to be able to have enough that it will incentivize them to grow the herd. Because when they grow that herd, it's going to be a loss for a little bit. Well, if we at this time of year, particularly, which is when many producers are making that decision as to whether or not they're going to grow that herd, we put this massive volatility into the market that drops all these cattle prices down significantly. That's a nice short term from the consumer's perspective, right? Nice short term solution. However, we've just kind of stabbed ourselves in the foot here for a bit, because that decentivizes any growing of the herd, which means it's even further down the road before we can produce our own beef, enough beef for ourselves. So it creates a problem here that's a long-term problem.
And speaking of thinking in the long term, if I'm in the beef cattle business and I want to make a decision, it's not like I can have more cattle tomorrow, right? This is long-term planning going on. How does this kind of moving target, tariffs are going to change, but they're going to change for 3 months, and then who knows what's going to happen. How does that affect that farmer, that rancher's ability to plan for the future?
Well, and that's just it right now. You know, so you have a lot of these calves that are coming off pasture. So they've been on pastures with their mamas for this summer. And now as a cow-calf producer, I have to make a decision as to whether I'm going to keep this animal back for the year, right? In which case, then next summer I can breed it, which means that it's there. So it's another, after next summer, it's still a year and a half at the earliest before that's going to produce beef, right? But that's the long term. Or do I just immediately put this into a feed yard right now to be able to get more animals? Well, that might be a short-term solution for more beef, but it's not a long-term solution for being able to supply the beef that we want in the United States. And we've created this volatility here. So for these producers, in kind of created a not accurate market price. So they're trying to make this long-term decision on by using economic data that isn't really representative of what this market situation should be.
Now, my limited understanding of economics says, okay, the price of beef has gone up. So consumers will say, gosh, that's too much. I'm going to put my money into other proteins that haven't gone up as much. Beef demand should go down. Is that how it works in real America?
Well, in real America, yes. So on a poundage-wise, you know, consumers might be looking at that, but we also have to look at it from the point of view of, you know, that's a per capita, right? But the other thing is that we have really strong beef demand right now, and it's continuing to stay so. Because, and we can see that even though it's necessarily, okay, high prices, you'd think like, oh, well, should the demand drop by that same percentage? Not necessarily, because it doesn't necessarily, there's other components that go into it. And right now we can say that we have that strong demand because even with the high prices, we're maintaining the demand. People are not switching over necessarily to those other proteins. The increase in the price of beef that consumers are still buying it, relative to those other proteins has gone up, but yet consumers are still buying that beef. So that tells me that U.S. consumers like this are U.S. beef, you know, and that's a huge thing. We have imported more beef, you know, what we import versus what we export are not the same thing, because as we've talked about, we import lean beef trimmings, which we then turn around for the most part and use for hamburger, right? And we export our middle meats, you know, those whole muscle cuts, you know, as we bring more beef in, but that's what we consume a lot of. We like the whole muscle cuts. That brings a lot of value to the producers. That's what consumers are really willing to pay a lot for. But we also like our hamburger. We are a hamburger nation. We eat hamburgers. We cook hamburger at home. We just eat a lot of hamburger. And that's basically, this is attempting to bring it in to supplement kind of those, that part. But the unfortunate thing is that hamburger is a big percentage of that cattle. And if we hurt that price overall, that's going to bring down the entirety of the cattle price, which brings down any profitability for that cattle producer.
Brenda, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Brenda Botel is a professor and department chair of agricultural economics at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls. Earlier, we heard from Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. We've been talking about President Trump's plan to allow some ground beef to be imported into the U.S. with tariff cuts.